Mallory Rowan is an entrepreneur, a powerlifter, marketing consultant, educator, and has established an incredible personal brand with an Instagram of over 22,000 followers. As a university student, she founded an apparel brand for powerlifters and grew it to six figures with her business and life partner, Josh. But after suffering a major episode of burnout and coming to some stark realizations about what she wanted her life to look like, she pivoted her business into marketing, education, and consulting. She now runs a highly successful group coaching program called Build Without Burnout. She speaks on stages. She's a Lululemon ambassador. She collaborates with brands. She runs her consulting business and sells digital offers. In this podcast episode, we're chatting about the self-discovery that needs to happen in order to grow a business that's in alignment with your personality, your lifestyle, and more, so you don't go through a burnout like Mal did. We're talking about how to run a multi-passionate business and actually ignore the advice of niching down. And we're talking about why you need to learn about money and what you need to know in order to have a profitable business and set up your personal life for financial success. Mal is a close friend of mine, and I can't wait for you to hear this inspiring episode with her. Make sure to leave a rating and review on iTunes after the show so we can hear what you thought of today's episode. iTunes reviews are super important to helping us grow this podcast, so I really appreciate the extra minute you spend leaving one for us. All right, let's dive on in. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. What's up, you guys? We are in for such a good episode today. We are getting to sit down with the incredible Mal Rowan, and I'm so excited to have her here because Mal and I are actually like in real life buddies, guys. We both live in Ottawa. We're in a little peer-to-peer mastermind. We, you know, go for lunch. She is an amazing entrepreneur, so I'm really excited to have her here on the show. So welcome, Mal.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. Actually, before we even dive into introducing you and stuff, I want to make sure that everybody goes and follows you on Instagram so that while they're listening to this episode, if you guys want to share like a takeaway or an aha moment, you can tag both Mal and I in it. So Mal, can you tell everybody what your Instagram handle is?
Yeah, it's at Mallory Rowan. So Mallory.
Yeah.
Rowan.
No dots, right? All
no
one word.
Yeah.
Okay. So tag us as you're listening to this episode, you guys. So Mal, welcome to the show. And do you want to just introduce yourself for everybody who's listening who may not know you yet?
Yeah. So I'll try to keep it brief. But when I was in university, I started my first business, which was a powerlifting lifestyle apparel brand designed to help athletes give back. And then since then, I have pivoted to help other entrepreneurs find really strategy with their businesses from a brand and marketing perspective. And that's through marketing consulting, coaching, and some online courses.
And so that's really what you do right now is like all of those, like teaching other entrepreneurs and doing the marketing consulting is where you've landed
exactly.
Right now. Yeah, cool. When you guys go and follow Mal on Instagram though, you'll see she's has all kinds of passions and she's a really fun person to follow. So let's talk about that. Like as we're starting the show, Mal, just around those pivots, because I've talked about pivoting before on this podcast and a lot of people resonate with pivoting because I think we all sort of as entrepreneurs start because we're just excited and we just want to get our feet wet and we start with something and it tends to oftentimes not be the thing that we stick with at like 5 or 10 years down the road. And you know, we end up pivoting in entrepreneurship. And I think sometimes people can feel really nervous to do that. So can you give us, like you gave us a really, you know, sort of short summary just then of how you started with your apparel company. But can you talk a little bit more about that pivoting journey? And like, did you feel nervous at all when you shifted focuses? And like, how did you know it was the right time?
It's like a really heavy question for sure. And I feel like we don't talk about it, right? I remember even when we started our mastermind, I felt really weird because I was like, I'm in this in-between place. And like, I felt like every meeting we were shifting who felt that way, right? So it was really cool. Even people who are still running their businesses, having sometimes that disconnect of like, okay, I need something to give me that fire again, right? So for myself, you know, we started our first business at 22, and even the idea behind our business was because it was the path of least resistance to a certain degree, because we had all of these ideas of how we could support the powerlifting community, but a lot of them were going to take like heavy research and development, and we were just two students. So we were like, well, let's start with a lifestyle brand, and then we can always do all of those things later.
And when you say we, who's the we?
So I'm in business with my life partner, Josh. At the time, we were just gym partners. So then we started the business and started dating at the same time, but just celebrated our 5-year anniversary. So far, so good. Horrible advice, though. Like I always tell people, it worked out really well for us, but don't try
Don't
to
do it.
emulate that. So we just kind of dove in, and we were young and we were just excited. Like you said, we just wanted to get started. And so that's something I actually talk to a lot of entrepreneurs that are still in that first or second year, is going back to why did you want to get into business for yourself? And is the route you're chasing actually what's going to get you there, right? Because there is this confusion of just starting a business will get you these things, and people not understanding that we all are in it for different reasons. So, for example, I talked to someone, I have a lot of people that come to me that want to get into apparel, right? So, I was talking to someone, she wants to create this apparel line so that she can then have workshops and like create sponsorship programs for teen moms. And so I asked her, I'm like, well, if that's really what you're passionate about, why don't you just do that? Screw the apparel, right? But sometimes we think we have to have like a more tangible business. I'm like, you could totally start an organization that just does that. And like get right to the point, right? So things like that, like those are questions nobody asked us. It was just like, what's your business? Let's go. Time to build, right? And so where our pivot really started to happen, I feel like I just made a recipe for like the worst possible identity crisis. Yes. It's like we tie so much identity to our businesses as entrepreneurs, and then as people and athletes, we tie so much identity to our sport. And mine was both, right? So I had become a powerlifter. It was like my everything. Everyone knew me as a powerlifter. And so in my pivot, it first started because I was burning out so badly. And my body was really, really deteriorating. And that was kind of step one of the really scary, because I couldn't compete when my body was like that. And that in itself was scary, because I was known as a powerlifter. Everyone wanted to know when I was doing my next competition. And there was a lot of weight around that, right? And then not only is it your identity, but it's your identity that's also tied to your business. And what does it mean if I'm not competing, but I'm championing this brand that had become like the brand of powerlifters, right? And the more I took time away from training for powerlifting, the more I started to like not training for it. And then that was complicated, because even once my body started to get healthier, it was like, okay, so now when are you going to compete? And I'm like,
And you're like, I kind of don't want to anymore.
And then we were shifting as people. I've always been pretty minimalist, and my partner Josh was getting really, really into that, like starting to follow. I don't know if you know Matt Diavella on Insta or on YouTube. He's big on like minimalism. So he was getting really into this, and we were both, you know, trying to do more sustainable choices, getting like that really nice black t-shirt that's going to last us forever and just wearing that kind of thing, right? So that was really hard, because we weren't identifying with the concept of graphics on apparel. So we made a small pivot first, where we were really changing what our apparel looked like. We were doing more simple stuff, focusing on like the design of it. So really interesting, like long tees, different types of crops, and doing more minimal design on it. So that was like a minor pivot we did first, which worked really well. Like I really fell back in love with the brand at that point. It felt like it needed to be less about powerlifting, but then we were still disconnected, because we're like, we don't need more apparel. Why does everybody need so much apparel? Like every 8 weeks or so, we were dropping really big collections, and it just started to get harder and harder, because it didn't feel aligned with what we believed in. And so
And
that
to
was.
even think about like all of the shipping you're doing, like just to even sort of be able to think about it in mass quantities,
Oh yeah.
At
From
the
our
level.
basement.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah. And even that, like, we started in a like studio apartment with, which is already small for two people. And then we added an apparel company. Then we did it from a one bedroom, and then we did it from a townhouse. So it was still like a lot, right? So doing that and trying to process this like identity crisis at the same time was really, really tough. And then you get this weird disconnect where your customers are so excited and you're seeing them in person and meeting them and having these conversations, and like they're so excited, and you're like, I just feel so disconnected from this, right? And that was really tough. And there's small things you can do. Like, we took some of our customers who had actually become friends, we started having them work at booths for us because they were so enthused.
Right.
It was really great to like see that and let them bring that energy to it. But it's all kind of like a band-aid, right?
Yeah.
And then we just finally had to actually face like, okay, I don't know if this is the thing. Like, we never stopped to think, do we want to make t-shirts forever? And as much as we were growing year to year, it's a hard business to scale to the point where you can like totally replace yourself with a team, right? Because you wear so many hats when
Absolutely.
You're running an apparel company. So that was something. It's like, okay, are we willing to strap down and like make this happen over the next 5 to 7 years so we can hand it off? Or is it going to break us down too much before then? And we ultimately decided it didn't make sense for us to keep pushing. And we can talk from like a financial perspective too, what that looks like. Because for us, the first trigger was actually a tax return. And that's what started the conversation, because we were going to be getting money back. And Josh was the one to say, maybe this is an opportunity to let LVD move into the next thing and let it be like that vehicle that allows us to do the next thing. Even if it was, we talked about putting it forward for like a down payment in a home, right?
Right.
How can we let LVD carry us to the next thing instead of letting it like drag us down and then having all these negative memories with it? How can we leave it on a high?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. And so when you made that shift and really decided to, you know, I think like when you decided to stop running LVD, you kind of did it a bit quietly, right? Like, it wasn't like a big closeout sale and then a day of just closing the doors that was very public, right? You kind of did it incrementally.
Yeah. So we decided in January, I would say, that we were feeling this way. So for March was a big powerlifting competition, and normally we would like drop a full collection, but we were having this disconnect. It's also really hard when your business is a creative business to be going through these things and then sit down and try to come up with something really creative that's better than the last thing you created. Like, that's a whole other pressure.
Yeah.
So we were struggling to even come up with what we wanted to release. So we were like, okay, let's just do a single shirt for this competition. We still have some old stuff. We can sell that and then have this like kind of feature this one shirt. And then we would normally do a spring and a summer and a fall. And so spring came and people were like getting a lot of questions of when stuff coming, and we're like, oh, like, we'll see, you know. And then one moment that I think showed some people a bit was there was an event we usually did at the end of May that we did every year that was super, super fun for us. And we announced that we weren't doing the event, but there was also some other reasons. Like, the event itself was, I would say, slowly dying, and the event organizers weren't actively doing things to pump energy into it. So we're
right.
like, unless you're bringing prices down, like, we're not putting the same money into it every year. So that was like, we just kind of positioned it, you know, as like, oh, we've just chosen not to do it this year. But then the months kept going and people were starting to notice. And then it wasn't until the fall where we decided, okay, we really have to actually say something.
Right.
And so we just spoke about it really honestly. And we said, you know, this is where we're sitting. We love this community, but it feels just not aligned with us to be producing apparel. And we really tried to push people to think about like choices when it comes to fashion, right? Like fast fashion and how much of a problem that's become. And we started this business with a social cause. So to then be on the wrong side of another problem felt really backwards to us. And people really appreciated the transparency in it and just saying like, hey, this is where we're at. And that's all we've got to say. We're not going to try to sugarcoat it. And we did a few things before that. Like, there was a competition locally where we actually partnered with the competition and we sold them a bunch of stuff at cost essentially.
Right.
And then gave out free items to all the lifters. So that was amazing. Like, yeah, 200 to 300 lifters. So that was how we quietly liquidated to a certain degree. So that when that time came, we didn't do like a giant closing out sale. Yeah. Like we still have some hats on our website. Actually, once in a while we get someone who buys a hat and it's so cute because it's like they just want something.
That last little piece.
That last little piece. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I amazing story. I love like getting the behind the scenes of that. So from a kind of like a financial and tactical perspective, as this was all sort of starting to fizzle away, mm-hmm. how did you build up the next thing that was really going to bring in revenue for you? Because I know that for those who don't know, like Mal's partner, Josh, he does real estate locally yep. in Ottawa. So he has like another income stream. But for you, I kind of assume most things were tied up with LVD. So did you kind of have this, did you take that period of those like 9 months where things were kind of starting to, where you were making that shift to build up the other things that you had going on so that it would make it easier?
Yeah. So it's funny because with our business, I would say we were more impact driven than money driven. The only money factor for us was always like moving to full time. So that's what we had done, right? Like that was the only yeah. money that was driving our decisions. But then it's interesting because a lot of these like alignment realizations actually came through money events, really. So in the fall before that, the fall was always a hard time for us cash flow wise, just because of the way there's more events. There's a lot of like sponsorship stuff happening, Black Friday, right? We're ordering a lot of mm-hmm. inventory. So we decided just to play it safe and not pay ourselves for a few months. And we realized we're very creative people when it comes to making money, right? We started this business in school and
yeah.
grew it to the size that it was without a budget. So we were like, okay, how are we going to pay ourselves? So we picked up 2 marketing contracts with some companies and it, you know, as everything happens with the universe, it kind of fell into place. We knew 2 people. One person we knew actually tried to hire social media and a retail manager and didn't have any luck. So we were just like, hey, we could do both of those things for you.
Right.
And then we had somebody else come to us for advice and then was like, do you guys offer this? And we're like, sure.
Yeah.
So we started doing 2 marketing contracts. And then we started to realize like, oh, we're actually making pretty good money off this with a lot less work. And that was like the first trigger. But it also gave us that space to figure it out, right? Because we had them sign contracts. So we knew we were covered for a while and we lived pretty lean. So we had those basic expenses covered and we were kind of good to go from there. And so this was actually also at the same time Josh started his real estate license. So he didn't have it before, like for context. So, and that was, just transitioning actually through like reading. He had read Rich Dad Poor Dad and it was really shifting how we saw money and he wanted to diversify a bit. So he like plowed through his real estate exams and went from, I think, August or September and was licensed by April.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty fast. Like most people take a lot longer to do it. So he went into full like student study mode. And yeah, that was another part of the identity thing. It was like on the back end, we knew we were shifting. On the front end, people didn't know, but I felt like Josh now had this new identity and I was like just in limbo owning a company that's not actually making anything, but no one knows, right? Like I would go to events and say what I do, but I'm not actually doing it. So that was complicated too. But yeah, it was really through taking those first marketing contracts where I was like, okay, I know that I'm good at it, right? It's how we built our business and it's what I worked in before. And so I started taking some of those contracts and then we just had more and more people start reaching out. Like I would have people message me and be like, how much do you charge for like a consult call? So I would just like make up a number, right? Because I was like, I don't know, I'll talk to you for free, but if you want to pay me, like. So that started pretty organically. And then it was through that summer when Josh had started real estate, we were okay with the marketing contracts. And I was really stressing at first. I was like, what is my next thing? Like, I need to figure it out. I'm very type A too. So it's like, you need the giant game plan.
Totally.
And Josh was the one to be like, you have time. Like, just take this summer and see what feels right and see like what your gut is telling you. And so that was really nice. So we were doing those marketing contracts to hold us over. And then that's when I decided, okay, there's actually a really common theme through these consults and the marketing, whether I was working with bigger clients, small businesses, or solo entrepreneurs, I was like, I'm teaching them the same thing over and over again. And that's when I started to realize, okay, there's other ways I can start delivering this. And then in the fall, I decided to do a test group of running students through a program. And that's when I really, really loved it, because it was like a more accessible way I could help new entrepreneurs, and just to see like how much they were learning from it and seeing how much they grew, because I've always been really driven by impact. So that was really, really cool for me.
Yeah. So that's when you launched your first group of Build Without Burnout, which is like a small group coaching program, essentially for new entrepreneurs in any niche, right? Like they can be starting any kind of business.
Yeah. So I will always let people know if I think like they're in a really unique situation. The only person I've had so far that I did private coaching instead of the program was because she owns a franchise. And it's just, they have like a lot of different factors.
Totally. Yeah.
So a lot of the lessons were the same, but you can't like change things and you have different stakeholders, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I love all of that. So, and I think so many people will be able to relate to that. Just trying to like figure it out one step at a time, like not necessarily having the full picture of where you're going. You wouldn't have known even 6 months earlier that that group coaching program was even like in your realm of possibility, right? So, so in Build Without Burnout and just in your like consulting, you teach entrepreneurs all kinds of things around business, but specifically like laying a really solid foundation for their business. And I know one thing that even just following you on Instagram, like you start to see that you definitely talk about like money and numbers and data, and that really I always like love those posts of yours, because that I resonate a lot with that because I'm the same. So I just want to talk about that for a second, like in Build Without Burnout, or just even in your private one-on-one consultations, what do you see people needing the most guidance when it comes to those kinds of topics? Like where do people have the most questions, or what do they get stuck on?
Well, pricing for sure, especially with women, a lot of like value, like self-worth, and just like in businesses where they are arbitrarily pricing. One thing different with pricing I see is people not connecting the dots between what they want to make and the pricing and how many units or clients that is. So like, for example, in week three of the program, that's actually what we sit down and cover, is like, how much money do you want to make? What do you want to price at? And I give them some spreadsheets that do it automatically for them. But I had people, like I had one, he was a student, as in like actually going to university student. And he was like, wow, I had this goal of like 100 units per month. And then when he saw what that annual revenue was, he was like, oh, that's it. But he had never like put two and two together, right? Because the number of units per month sounded like really great. Like he was doing like maybe 20 units a month and he wanted to get to 100. So that sounds like a really great big goal. But then realizing like, oh, when I get to 100, I think he would be pulling in 30K in revenue or something. And he was like, oh, it's not real. Like, is it worth all the work that I'm doing? And I was like, this is why we want to talk about this
now.
Before you go and do this all, because maybe you either need to shift or you need to add something different. Like, what are you going to have to do so that those things align? So like when I talk about alignment, it's not just about like your gut feelings. It's about like, have you actually thought about, is your business like set up to take you there? And then the other side is personal finance, and nobody wants to ask questions or talk about it. So it's like a catch, because I wouldn't say I get the most questions about it, but when I bring it up, then I get a lot of questions about it.
Right. And so I love that. So you're coming from, first you're talking about like the business finances, and I do this too of like, where is it that you want to go in terms of how much you want to make, and then working backwards to figure out actually how you're going to get there. And you're right. It can be really enlightening, because sometimes, you know, if you're selling like a $27 product, like, damn, it's going to take you a lot of sales to get to where you want to go for that annual revenue. And so maybe you need to rethink your model a little bit. And especially if you're dealing with physical products and you have like cost of goods and all of that kind of thing. So I love that. Okay. And now tying it into the personal finances, that's really clever, because not a lot of business coaches or programs ever talk about personal finances. We only ever talk about the finances of the business. So what is it that you kind of take your students through when you talk about that side of things?
Yeah. So I am like a huge advocate for profit first, because I think if I had read it before my first business, we would have run it very, very differently. But so I essentially...
Just hang on a second for everybody who's listening who they don't know what Profit First is. It's a book by Mike Michalowicz, I think is how you say his last name, that you guys can grab on Amazon. And he has a system for how you run the numbers in your business.
Yeah. And the idea with Profit First is basically if you can run your business off $1,000, you can run it off $900 and set aside $100 for you to actually be making profit, right? So it's this idea that if we take profit first, right, hence the name, instead of expenses first, we set ourselves up better. And so it's essentially dividing your money. When money comes in, you divide certain percentages into certain buckets, right? So I use that in my business and in my personal. So going through that with them, but then I also outline some different examples of some people, like direct income streams, for example. So if you want to have your full-time job covering your expenses, and then you have a side hustle that covers your vacation, and you just all that money goes to your vacation, that's a route too. So it just matters. Like I always say, it doesn't matter what system you're using as long as you have a system. So that's a really big thing, is, okay, we figured out how you can reach that business goal. Now let's figure out how to not screw yourself over, because when you actually start making money, especially for people that have been in like a more scarcity state, it's like, how are we going to protect ourselves so we're not just spending and then getting stuck a year later realizing, okay, I made more money in my business, but I didn't take in more money.
Yeah, but where did it all go?
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially like a lot of the people listening to this podcast are digital product-based business owners. And one thing that can get, like, there's two main things that get really expensive. One is software, and we want to add like all the software tools and use all the fancy new things. And it is surprising how quickly those can add up and have such a giant effect on your profit margins. And then the other thing is team. And so if you're thinking about like hiring your first VA, or even subcontracting out to like a copywriter or a graphic designer or any of those things, a web design person, like all of those things can really add up. And so having a system like Profit First in place, which it basically tells you how much you have left to spend on expenses because you're taking that profit first and you're paying yourself as well.
Yeah. And looking at all these systems can be really, when we go back to that, like the self-worth around pricing too, sometimes it can be a really great driver to up your prices. So I had someone who was a photographer, he lives at home and, you know, he's young and he's like, okay, so what if I know some of my competitors are charging $1,500 for something, but I'm good with $500, like $500 is great for me. So we threw it into the spreadsheet, and $1,500 and $500 to some people doesn't sound that far off, but it's like three times, right?
Yeah.
So then when you start multiplying that by the number of photo shoots and then seeing how big of a difference that number is, and then saying, okay, so here's those two different numbers. Now, when you're charging $1,500, you can now very comfortably hire someone to do all of the parts of your business that you suck at, because let's be real, you're a great photographer. You're not great at the business side. So you can hire someone. And now that you're not doing that, you have time to do more photo shoots at that higher number. So now look at how you're even ending up with so much more money, even after you take out those expenses, right? And it's like that huge aha moment of, on paper, just saying, okay, I'm cool with 500. When you see the big numbers, you're like, are you really cool with making like less than a third of what you could be making?
Totally. And having a business that feels better for you because you have that support and you're not having like the stress of doing the things you don't want to be doing and knowing that you need to book that many photo shoots to like make a go of it. Yeah. And also this doesn't even get into the whole thing around like if he's pricing at 500 where everybody else is pricing at 1500, he's doing himself a disservice by looking like the cheap, you know, budget option that doesn't have the same quality as the 1500 person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is like, I think a lot of that self-worth stuff comes up in and around that sort of topic, because we all have like feeling like we're not worth what, you know, we could be charging. So Okay, so let's just, I want everybody to really understand once they go and follow you on Instagram, if they don't already, they'll see this, but like you're a very multi-passionate entrepreneur. Like, yes, you teach other entrepreneurs, you still do that like local marketing, you know, like you do consulting for, yeah, for companies locally, you speak at events, you're a Lululemon ambassador. If you guys live in Ottawa, go check out Mal's big face right now in giant art installations all across Lululemon stores. You like work with brands. You do all kinds of things. So do you ever get the feeling that you're doing too much?
Only in the sense that like the best advice I can give people is to like niche and do one thing. And it's very like, do what I say, not what I do.
Yep.
But at the same time, I've really had to acknowledge, and this last year has taught me a lot about like how I best operate. And I just, mm-hmm, I can't, for whatever reason, every body in my bone, like I can't do one thing and I can't talk about one thing. Like even money, I could talk about money all day. But if you were like, okay, you're just going to talk about money everywhere, I'd be like, nope,
done.
I'm out. Yeah. So that has been really tough for me because I see even on like social, right? The best way to grow your Instagram right now is to like niche within a sub niche within a sub niche. And I just can't, but it's something that I've just accepted. And instead I love the people that I attract because they see where I come from and they like love, they're also often that way, right? Where they love,
I was
going to
say
things.
They probably like resonate with you on all of those different topics. And so although, yeah, maybe the growth doesn't happen as quickly, the people that you're getting into your audience are so the right fit.
Yeah. And it's, I've recognized that I need to do that for a longer sustainable business because like my first one is a great example. Like I niched so hard and then it even like ruined my sport for me. Like, I don't want to power lift anymore. Cause it's like, it's so like done in my brain. Right.
Right.
So using like, I call it like energy mapping, but like mapping out my year based off how I want to spend my energy, because sometimes I want to do more coaching. Sometimes I want to be more hands off, right? Like in the summer, I want to be able to have a flexible schedule. So how can I set myself up for that? And so it's the same thing with all the things I'm passionate about, is trying to balance how much I want to do things versus actually looking at the return on investment for them. And like definitely learning to say no has been a big thing that I preach. And like, as much as it looks like I'm doing everything, I say no a lot.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And people don't see that side of it. And like, it doesn't mean, okay, you can only do paid speaking gigs. I'll still do some free speaking gigs, but it's like, okay, how many free? And if they're free, is it because I really want to do it? Is it because it's a charity? Like the last free event I did, tickets were $8 and 100% of proceeds went to charity. Like, I'm not going to ask that person to pay me, like, you know? So yeah, figuring out like how much is just what I want to do and respecting my energy, because by being a little bit all over the place, it actually allows me to excel in the areas, because if I just double down on those areas, I will go crazy.
Right.
And just like have a mental breakdown and then move on to the next thing.
And what a good thing that you are like in tune with that for yourself. And so you can run your business in a way that supports exactly how you need it to, and to like feel totally in alignment with your business. So you don't get to that place again where you're feeling like you just want to throw it all out the window.
Yeah. I think like understanding that everybody doesn't operate the same thing. And I actually learned that through my burnout, because Josh and I were living like pretty much the same life and my body was falling apart and he was like hitting the best lifts he'd ever hit. And that was a really hard lesson, because everyone's like, you're traveling. And I'm like, but his body's fine. And just understanding that like our physical bodies weren't even starting at the same place. So even from like an energy or like a purpose perspective, like for example, you with your membership, I love that you do like a low cost membership, low cost as in like to your clients, not for
you. Yeah.
I love that idea. But memberships, like the idea of doing a business membership gives me so much anxiety, because I'm like, I am committing to like owing micro things to people monthly. And like, I, for some reason, that's like, so I just can't. I'm like, but a membership never ends. Like, I need like an end. And even for coaching, it's like, obviously I have clients where we keep going, but I've recognized like, I really like to like package and deliver. And like, for me to go, like so many people have been like, do a membership. And I'm like, I will lose my mind.
Yeah.
And it's just acknowledging that, like, I see it and I think it's so great what you're doing, but I'm like, it's not the thing that would work for me, you
Yeah.
know?
And, you know, to be able to reckon, like for everybody that's listening, to really like take a minute to think about that, what that thing is for yourself is so important, because we see other people doing things. And if you ever get shiny object syndrome, you want to go and do all the things that you see these successful people doing who you may look up to, but it might not be the right fit for you. And like, it's really understanding what that is for yourself. Because like, for as a total like same kind of example, the idea of doing contracts for me, like marketing contracts, like I would die. Like I would hate to have to be on the hook to somebody like
Right,
that.
you have to finish it.
I'd have to finish it. I'd have to like, I feel like I'm back to like trading my time for dollars. And yeah, it's just, but it isn't that funny? Like I don't feel that way with the membership. So it's like how it's your own, yeah, it's your what feels it like the right thing for you. So that leads us to the next question I want to ask you, which is one of the things that I really admire about you is your focus on like your health and self-care and the balance in your life. And I know that like you went through a period of burnout that really kind of forced you to like tackle those things head on. But how have you built in those routines into your life?
Yeah, I think consistency is like the biggest thing, and like a morning routine, for example, is a great way to prep yourself for whatever chaos that follows. Like if you do the same routine at morning and at night, it really calms down your life if there's chaos in between. But the biggest thing with that is like acknowledging when you just have to try it a few more days versus it doesn't work for you. Because people, same thing, they'll take someone else's morning routine and try it, and it doesn't work, or maybe in that season it doesn't work for you. So I just started reading in the morning again, but for a while I was reading at night instead, because if I sat down to read in the morning, I was just, my brain was like thinking of all the things I had to do that I wasn't reading the words on a page. And I found I was like looking at the clock trying to be like, okay, have I read for 20 minutes yet? And then like run. Whereas
Right.
now, like, I don't even know how long I read in the morning because I'm so
Enjoying it.
enthralled. So figuring out those systems that'll work for you and really repositioning, like you can work a 16-hour day without being on your laptop for 16 hours or doing the work, quote unquote, for 16 hours, because I see sleep as part of building my business. I see going to the gym and doing yoga as part of my business. And I think we really have to shift that mindset, especially for entrepreneurs. Like it's one life. There's no work-life balance or work-life harmony. It's just your life, right? And shifting that conversation. I think Arianna Huffington does it really well in The Sleep Revolution. Like if you are someone that always stays up late or gets up early, is like cutting into your sleep, it was the best book I could read to always justify going to bed early, because you actually start to understand from a scientific perspective, like that's the best thing you could do for your business. And we've glorified this hustle and the staying up late and the energy drinks. But like actually getting 8 hours of sleep will do so much more for your business. And people, like even listening to this, might be rolling their eyes, but it's like, read the book,
Yeah.
learn the science, and now you're gonna really shift how you handle your days, because it might look like I'm taking breaks and like, you know, working 4 hours a day or something. But for me, yoga is also work, because if I don't go to yoga, I'm gonna lose my mind. And
Yeah.
I'm not going to be as productive. I came home from yoga last night. I fell asleep in yoga. It was beautiful. And then I came home and I like finished this thing that I was working on, and it was really great. And if I had just kept working, it would have taken me till like 8:30 p.m. either way. But I threw in an hour and a half yoga class,
Yeah.
right? So seeing how it can actually change your productivity.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I fall into these like bad habits of like I'll be really great for a while and then things start to pile up and then I just tell myself that I can't. Like for one of my big things is every day I like to go out for a walk at lunchtime, put in a podcast, like get that hit of fresh air. It's like totally resets me for a productive afternoon. And there was and at the beginning of this year, I went through this time of like telling myself that I couldn't possibly take that 45 minutes to an hour out of my day my workday is already relatively short because I have young kids that I like pick up early in the afternoon. And I was just telling myself that story, but then, and so I let it go for like a solid 6 weeks and I felt shitty and I was like, not such a great mom or wife or just person to be around. And then I started it back up again and literally it had no effect on like how much I was able to produce at the end of the day. Like it was the same. So like my ability to be ultra productive and have like really amazing afternoons relied on that walk. And I was just like letting it go.
Yeah. And the longer we let it go, the more we create that narrative that we don't have space for it. I just did the same thing. Like I, as part of my like weird relationship with the gym after, like I was really enjoying the gym. And then I decided to do yoga for a while in this past August. And like, I was just doing yoga. And then I found in like January-ish, I was like doing like less yoga classes and also not going to the gym at all. And then this narrative started that I didn't have time. Like every day I would be like, I'm going to go today, but I never had time. And then it was just last Sunday, I was like, nope, you're going to start going to the gym and you're going to start going to yoga and you're just going to alternate each day.
Yeah.
And last week I, between the gym and yoga, had 6 workouts and this week I'm on track for the same. And it's crazy to see like, oh, you really do have time. Yes. Like nothing else has changed.
Exactly.
Like if anything, I'm probably busier these 2 weeks, but I'm happier. I'm feeling better. Like, and my work is, it's showing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Rapid fire time.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you some questions and you need to answer them.
It's so funny because like I can make really big life decisions like in a minute. I've been that person to always like, no, I had to leave a job or take a job. And then like small decisions, I'm like,
these should be relatively easy. So, okay. And we've already been talking about them a little bit. So number one, your favorite type of workout?
Well, I think lifting weights still.
Still lifting weights.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, the book you're reading right now.
So I'm reading two. I'm reading like the Starbucks origin story. I think.
Yep.
I don't know what it's called. And then the other one I'm reading is called Broke Millennial's Guide to Investing.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, I just started it.
Okay.
It is American though. So that's the only thing. Not everything translates, but I'm just trying to like understand that world better in general.
Your fave business book. Do you have one?
Oh, I would say Profit First.
Okay.
Or, my friend Alexis actually has a book called Find Your Fuck Yeah. We've talked about it in the mastermind. That's my new recommendation for everyone, especially if you're someone that like feels like you don't have an identity.
And is it on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. We'll link to it. Yeah. Your morning routine.
So I write at least 3 things I'm grateful for every morning in a notebook beside my bed, usually more. Wash my face, brush my teeth. And then right now it's reading. Sometimes it's meditation or yoga, but I do something. Like I just call it a meditation space, whether it's reading, writing, whatever. And I do that and then start my day.
Cool. Favorite food?
I think tacos.
Love it. The most woo-woo thing you do?
Okay, there's a website I told you about. It's called knowyourdestinycards.com. And you put in your birthday and it gives you a card for like your birth year, like just you basically, your year, your 52-day period and your day. And it's been like scary, scary accurate. So I either check it, I don't always check it, but sometimes I'll check it at the start of the day or an end. When I check it at an end, it's like freaky because it's not influencing how your day went. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty specific. Like okay, it'll be like today.
Knowyourdestiny.com?
Knowyourdestinycards.com.
Cards. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Last one. The top 3 software tools you use in your business. Like the ones you use the most.
Okay. I'm like very lean with that kind of stuff. But Todoist is an app I use for like just my daily to-do list. It's great because you can do projects. You can put in dates. You can put in recurring. And it's simple. Like okay, it's not some big platform. Teachable is where I host. I actually have a fitness membership, which is funny because that's why my membership. But I like Teachable because I can host that and then also host my business courses. What would be a third? Can I say Spotify because it keeps me sane? Like I use Spotify every day, all day.
You do?
Yeah, I'm pretty much always playing music if I'm not like on calls because it just like sets my mood.
Oh, that's so funny. I can't concentrate on what I'm doing if there's music playing.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I'm very like non-tech though. Like I want to say my giant whiteboard that I got on my wall that's like a 10 by 7 or something
Okay. No,
whiteboard.
I like that. Todoist. I'm gonna check it out. I haven't looked at that one.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. This is not rapid fire. This is just your last
Okay.
question. So what are three things that things that you do or like pieces of advice that you would give to someone who's working on building their own business right now?
Okay, so think about what your long-term priorities actually are and then see if your business is aligned with that. Don't be afraid of finances. Like, learn something about money every day because the more you learn, the less scary it is. And the more you realize, like, there's so much more you could be doing without doing more work.
Yes.
And third would be like, build yourself, not necessarily support system. I think that's the right wrong word, but like just a network of people that are a mix of like same industry, different phases, people who are further along than you in different industries, right? People that are at the same place in different industries. I'm a big fan of mixing it up, and that's something that I tried to do a lot more of the last like 3 years. Like our mastermind, for example, I have another group of two girls. We meet almost weekly on FaceTime.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and just finding those different networks to bounce ideas off of, honestly, and get feedback and have people like call you out on your own BS, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes it can pull you out of like your tunnel vision and allow you to see things outside of your own sort of small bubble or niche or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that. Okay, Mal, I want you to tell people about two things.
Okay.
Number, the first thing is I know you have an awesome lead magnet about Instagram. Which I want you to tell people what that is so that they can go and snag it because you're like an Instagram guru.
Yes. So I have a doc that gives you 8 ways to change your Instagram bio so you start attracting the right audience that will convert. So if you guys want that, you can DM me on Instagram and I will hook you up with that. And then the other thing I know we talked about was I have a mini course right now called Get Your Sheet Together. And it's basically the mother load of spreadsheets that I use to plan. I go into this whole energy mapping concept that we talked about. So I threw in some extra lessons around that, but it's basically my spreadsheet broken down with video explanations of what I use every single tab for. I use it to project, to plan, and actually to track my invoices. And it does all of that profit first division we were talking about. So it automatically tells me where to put my money.
Oh, that's super smart. So wait, is it for business and personal finances?
Yes. So basically it's like these, it shows my invoices and then it shows me how to divide that money within the business. And then the part of the money that's going to my owner's compensation, it then divides that.
Love that.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, guys, I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes so that you guys can go snag that. So two things you should snag. Free Instagram bio how-to guide, and then get your sheet together, which is, I think we're going to give a coupon code, right, Mal?
Yes. We'll
Okay,
put a
so there'll be
coupon
a
code.
coupon code in the show notes. So make sure you go via the show notes to go snag that because you can save some money.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mal, so much for coming on the podcast today. This has been a treat. We talked for longer than I usually do, but that's because we have a lot to talk about, a lot to say, and I loved it.
Yeah, no worries. It was super, super fun. I hope everyone gets some good nuggets from it.
Absolutely. And make sure to DM us on Instagram if you want, guys. Snap a pic of you listening to this episode. Tag Mal, tag myself, and we would love to connect with you. I will see you in the next episode of the Passive Project Podcast. Are you a digital product creator but aren't seeing the sales you want in your business yet? Not sure how to effectively market your offers and scale them? Don't have an evergreen funnel and live launching system that works for you? Then you need to go register for my free masterclass, Make Mo Money, Honey, How to Grow and Scale Your Digital Product Business. I'm walking you through some of my best tips, like the hybrid marketing method and the bucket system, and letting you in on the three big mistakes I see so many digital entrepreneurs making that are keeping them stuck. This 1 hour could be the thing that radically transforms your business and life. Go register at gemmabonhamcarter.com/class.